Well, we desire an interest in your prayers this morning, that the Lord would continue to bless. I received blessings here in the service already today. Thank the Lord for the fellowship and for the songs. Thankful for the presence of the Lord today. It is a real privilege that we have to be able to come together and worship the Lord, and it's good to be home. Home is not necessarily an issue where you sleep. Home is where there's love and fellowship. That's what home is. And I'm thankful I've been at home many thousands of miles away before, but it's good to be home here too. So, if there is anyone that should be an industrious people, it ought to be the people of God. Anybody that has is hardworking, dedicated, faithful, diligent, on time, responsible, it should be God's people. So the little story I'm going to start out with is not promoting laziness. I hope you all understand that this morning. There's a story that maybe you've heard it told before, but there was a rich industrialist that was very disturbed one day when he came along and he found a man, a fisherman, sitting beside his boat. And he asked him, he said, "Why aren't you out there fishing?" And the fisherman replied, he said, "Because I've caught my fish for the day." And he said, "Well, why don't you catch more fish than what you need?" And the fisherman said, "Well, what would I do with them?" And he said, "Then you could earn more money." He replied pretty impatiently, "And you could get a better boat, and you could go out deeper, and you could catch more fish, and then you could buy better nets, and then you could buy a bigger boat, and then you could have a fleet of boats, and you could be rich like me." And the fisherman asked him, he said, "Then what would I do?" He said, "Well, you could sit down and enjoy life." And the fisherman said, "What do you think I'm doing now?" Not interested in preaching laziness this morning, but the Lord is very interested in us learning to be content. Very simple message this morning. I'd like to begin over in Philippians in the 4th chapter in the 11th verse. Paul was speaking and he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." When you've learned something, it means you haven't always known it, doesn't it? I've learned, and may I say, I am learning. In other words, I'm not there yet. I'll speak personally, I'm a whole lot further along than I was when I was younger. But I've still got a ways to go. But I'm learning. He said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things," everywhere, you know, wherever I'm at, "I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then think of the context of this next verse that's so commonly quoted. "I can do" what? "All things through Christ which strengtheneth me." That was talking about contentment, folks. I know we use that scripture in a lot of different ways, but Paul was talking about the importance of learning to be content in the circumstances and in the situations in which we find ourselves. And sometimes the things that we face, those rivers and those mountains, they look impossible, but with Christ, with Christ, I can do all things through Him because He strengthens me. So then, Lord, if You're by my side when I'm going through that river, if I know You're by my side when I'm going through the fire, then, Lord, help me to learn to be content. In other words, help my spirit to be at rest because our God is still in control. And when things would normally trouble us and disturb our peace, There is such a great consolation this morning in coming to that place, to the throne of God, that we say, Lord, I'm struggling here. I'm tired. I'm worn out. The way in front of me is troublesome. But Lord, I'm in your hands, and I want to rest in that. And you know, that's where we can learn to be content. We can learn to be at rest and be at peace. We live in a world that is highly charged. And almost anybody you talk to, and this is not just on people that are in secular business. I could say this about the work of God too. We're too busy. You ask people how they're doing. What is people's normal response? Well, I'm just too busy. Isn't that most of us? We live in a world that is just, there's such a push. There's such a push and a drive. And I wonder if the Lord would be more pleased sometimes for us to learn to just get quiet a little bit and maybe to learn to be content. To be content with what we have. To be content with where we're at. To be content with relationships in your life. To be content with your job. To be content with the place that God has called you to. To be content means really by definition to be satisfied. It means to be at ease. It means to be serene. But yet we live in such a troubled world. People aren't at rest with, it seems like people aren't at rest with almost anything. People's relationships today are in so much turmoil. Parents and children and husbands and wives and in congregations and on people's jobs. Most people aren't keeping a job anymore. They're just not content. They're always looking for something better. But that story brings out a good point. We strive, thinking about material things, we can strive and strive and strive to gain material things. To what end? So that we can enjoy our marriages better in retirement? You'll destroy your marriage in the meantime, and you get to retirement, you won't have a relationship left. Lord, help us to get some perspective and learn to be content. Now, please understand the balance of the message this morning. It doesn't mean, I think we should be people with goals and purposes and plans, and yet, to learn to balance that, to be content with what we have, and if we can grow our business, if we can expand something, if you can do more for God, then by all means do what you can, but be at rest in your spirit that you are satisfied with where you're at. And sometimes that comes about by learning to appreciate where we're at and who we're with and what we're doing more than just always striving for something more. I've learned. In other words, and what's interesting in the Greek for this word contentment, it really brings out a very different perspective than our English definition of contentment. The word content in the Greek means to be sufficient for oneself. To need no aid. In other words, I've learned to be content. In other words, I'm not looking for a handout. I'm not looking for what someone else can do for me, but I've learned to be at rest with what I can do in the Lord and with what God has given me without striving for something more for what someone else can do for me or give to me. It takes maturity to learn to be content, doesn't it? To be content, to be at rest, satisfied. I said I'm learning. Are you content this morning? You know, we want to be content spiritually too. We need to be growing spiritually, and we should never just sit back and say, okay, I've just arrived, because all of us have things the Lord's wanting us to press toward the mark, to grow in Him. And yet, there are too many people right among the saints that are being troubled because I've got to be better, I've got to do better, and they're not at rest. I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on our own holiness. Whereas we need to learn to rest in the holiness of Christ working in our lives, that while I know I have weaknesses and I'm praying and I'm seeking and I'm working to be more like Christ, but at the same time I can rest and say, Lord, thank you that I'm saved. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the victories that you've given me. And I don't want to be striving so much spiritually that I fail to enjoy and accept the rest and the peace and the joy that the Lord has for me right now. I've learned in whatsoever state I am. A lot of this contentment comes from acceptance. I'm accepting. To accept something means to drop all forms of resistance. In other words, I'm just going to quit pushing so much. And I want to be at ease. And you know, when we are at ease with the Lord, that's where the joy of the Lord comes from. I don't think people that are always driven, and again, with the balance, I don't want to have to keep qualifying it. Just put that as a continual balance to the message this morning. But sometimes when we are so driven in work, in relationships, in job, in anything, you know what would happen if we were all so driven about our chapel project? I mean, I'm so, when we start, it's like, let's get it done. But you know what? We're dependent on some other people, aren't we? And things just don't get done on our time schedule sometimes. So you know what the Lord wants us to do? Learn to be content. Lord, help. Just, you know, and God has a time. And God has a reason in your jobs, in the things that you're trying to accomplish. God, we're in God's hands. Is not that part of our faith? If that is part of our faith, then we want, Lord, help us to learn that that would be a reality in our life. That I know, you know what, if things go a little slower than what I want, maybe the Lord wants me just to settle down a little bit. Maybe the Lord just wants me to quiet down and just be at rest and say, you know what, when it's done, if it's out of my control, what good does it do to just be in a turmoil? So then quit the resistance, take a deep spiritual breath, and say, Lord, I acknowledge that this is in your hands. That can come in financial difficulties. It can come when you are sick in physical problems. You can just be pushing for your healing and your deliverance so much you are not at rest with God. But when we say, Lord, I'm praying for healing, I'm trusting, and this is where my faith is, but Lord, I'm going to rest in knowing I'm in your hands. Help me to be content and at rest here, and I'm going to quit pushing. In other words, I'm going to quit resisting, and I want to accept that this may be the path that the Lord has given each one of us to walk, and I want to walk it with rest. I want to walk it with contentment and walk it with peace, and we can do it by the strength of God this morning. As we focus on appreciating what we have, rather than what we may not have. Look beside you. Who's sitting beside you this morning? All right. Well, maybe we won't go with that one too far. But do you know, each one of us in this room this morning, we all have weaknesses. We all have areas that, you know, we all have our unique personalities. But do you know what makes strong relationships? It's acceptance of one another. Acceptance of one another and learning to be content or at rest and at peace with our idiosyncrasies, with our differences, with our uniquenesses. I've never owned a cow in my life. But I've seen quite a few. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. And I see it frequently, just the little that I do. And some of you live with it. But cows, why do they always, it seems like they so frequently have their head pushed through the fence? And it always makes me want to look and see, is it really better grass right there? And most of the time, it's not. But there's some, you know the saying, the grass is green, or at least it looks like it. I'm assuming that's why cows do it. Maybe some of y'all have a better answer for me. But it's so interesting, and it's almost like when you see, wasn't there a picture out there that has two cows on opposite sides of the fence, and they're in both their heads are through the fence eating each other's grass, so to speak? You know, too often that's what people are like, too. The Lord wants us to learn to be content this morning. Some people are just never satisfied. Now, I know some people need to take a little bit more care for things. But, you know, perfectionists kind of have a little struggle here. I would say for those of you, I'll just say for those of us, that like our T's crossed and I's dotted. Do you know the Lord wants us to learn to be content too? Because life is not usually about everything being in order just like we like it. And there are people that nothing is ever good enough. It just always has to be a little bit better, a little bit more. Do you know that's kind of miserable? And I thought as the Lord had given me this message and the Lord brought a little thought, and there may share a little more on this another time, but I just want to add it to this morning. There are doctrinal things that we could talk about, right? We could talk about what are doctrines of the Bible. Salvation, the Holy Spirit. We talk about divine healing. We can talk about the doctrine of you know, the last end times and things like that. But do you know, there's a doctrine of contentment. And we can have all these other theological doctrines, and some of them do not impact me as much on a daily basis. This doctrine of contentment affects me every single day. Learn to be content, to be at peace, to have the joy of the Lord. And it makes people, when people are never content, you not only make yourself miserable, you make people around you miserable. Because it's always needs to be a little bit better. And I'm not talking about slothfulness. Again, that's the balance of that. But just that there's a place spiritually that the Lord wants us to learn to relax and be content and appreciate what He's blessed us with. The children of Israel had a real problem along this line. They murmured and complained, and I remember years ago, and when we were in Shawnee, I preached a message on that, and I still remember going through Exodus, chapter after chapter. They murmured and complained, turn the page, they murmured and complained, turn the page. It was throughout. And the Lord, it got to the place that God was highly displeased with them. We just had Thanksgiving weekend, and a time, or I guess it was Thursday, we were traveling, so it was a little different for us. But do you know Thanksgiving is supposed to be every day? But to be thankful for what God has blessed us with and what He's given to us, and the just the temporal, spiritual, physical blessings of life, we have so much to be thankful for. And yet, the children of Israel were just always, nothing was good enough. Nothing satisfied them. And if you give someone a dollar, they'll complain because you don't give them two. And have you ever seen people, if you give them something, you know it's going to cause a problem and you would do better not even to give it? If I started passing out $100 bills, and I can't, but if I started passing out $100 bills this morning and you were the only one that didn't get one, how would you feel? Man, you know, you get a little attitude about it. You came without 100, you leave without 100. Why can't we be content with that? Why would it be seeing everybody else get blessed? It almost causes this feeling of that's not right and I deserve that too. When really you didn't, you're going to leave the same way you came. But yet God blessing someone else caused us to be a little bit disturbed. You know how often this repeats itself in our world? The Lord wants us to learn to be content with what we have. Your neighbor may be blessed in a way that you're not, but God has special blessings He's given to you. And we don't want the blessings that the Lord gives to our brothers and sisters. We don't want to let that disturb our peace or our rest. Well, you know, I will say to the children, you listen real good here, you children, young folks. I would ask you if your parents, this has ever happened with you and your parents, but I dare say it has. Your parents tried to do something real special for you. And they took you on a trip or took you and did something. And then children, they get there and it's like, well, I want to do that. And you're sitting here thinking, we sacrificed so you could do this. But when you got here, you saw that over there and you want to do that. And then it makes you feel like, well, why we even come to start with? Have any other parents experienced that, or am I here by myself? So children, young people, adults, all of us, see, it's about learning to appreciate what God's given, because, you know, it's the quickest way to cause a parent to kind of want to not even do anything again is when you can't enjoy what they provided for you. Because it's like nothing's good enough. If you give them this, they want that. And if you do that, then there's something else. And there's nothing that ever satisfies. So that actually what it comes down to is that contentment is not about what we have. Nor is it about what we don't have. Contentment is about our perspective in spirit in appreciating the blessings of the Lord. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Things do not bring happiness. I know things can make being unhappy a little more pleasant. But the reality is that things do not bring happiness. And to be successful, I would all you young folks be successful in your jobs. But I want you to remember something. There's something more important than your jobs. That's your relationships. That's your walk with God. And the Lord wants us to learn to be content. Not that we're so wrapped up in the material mindedness of our world that we don't take the time to enjoy the things that are right in front of us and right before us. 1 Timothy 6, very familiar passage of Scripture as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 6, he says, but godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. The reason I believe he said this is because without godliness, everything else is in vain. Without godliness, everything else is in vain. But godliness with contentment, being at rest. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. In other words, there's no ambiguity here. It is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith what? Content. Anybody here lacking food and raiment? You know what the doctrine says then? The doctrine of contentment says if your basic needs are supplied, food and raiment are our basic needs. If that is supplied, he said, be content. You know, be content. In other words, again, self-sufficient without looking to everything else. Without looking for everything else, learn to be at rest. You know, some of the happiest people that I know do not live in prosperity. And it seems like our world thinks that the more you have, the better it's going to be. Really, that's not what experience tells us. Because some of the happiest people are people that don't have very much. Lord, help us to learn with our thanksgiving for what God has done to be content. not just in material things. There's nothing wrong with getting a new car. You all know that, right? But we can be content, not driven, not just pushed, this aggressiveness inside to have to get something different. A house, are you content? Or are you just you're just disturbed all the time because you want something more. You want something more. I told you to look beside you. Relationships. Do you know, I am convinced this morning that people's relationships would be a whole lot better. In marriages, as well as parents and children, family would be a lot better and stronger if people would just learn to accept and be content. Be content. Appreciate and value one another. And if there are things that kind of disturb your peace or cut across your personality or differences that are there, then appreciate that, you know what, there are some differences, but I am at rest and content. This is my husband. This is my wife. These are my parents. This is my job. This is what the lot. This is where I'm at in life, and I want to be satisfied. And be at peace and rest. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without what? Be without covetousness. In other words, looking at what another has. Let your conversation, in other words, your life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. And then he added this, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm going to take care of you. So what do you have this morning? As we conclude, what do you have? Be content. Be content with it. Let's not allow the world to drive us so much, folks, that we begin to devalue the things that mean the most. God, family, marriage. That's more important than anything else. Lord, help us to learn to be content. So I'd like to close with a little story. Dr. Cornwell, in the 18th century, I read, shared this story, they said, over 6,000 times in the United States. So this will be my first. So if you hear it again, just remember. Said over in, there was a man by the name of Ali Hafid, and this goes hundreds of years back. And you know, again, the veracity of some of these stories, but this story was told by an old guide out in Persia, around Persia and India. And he said that and you can look it up, but Ali Hafid owned a large farm, had orchards and grains and fields and gardens, and he was a very wealthy and he was a contented man. And one day someone came to visit him and he told this wealthy farmer about diamonds and about how wealthy he would be if you just owned diamonds, if you owned a diamond mine. So Ali Hafid went to bed that night very poor because he was discontent. He'd gotten something in his mind, if I could just own a diamond mine. And the story goes that he traveled the world over. He sold his farm, traveled the world over seeking for a diamond mine. And he became broken, defeated, and the story is that he ended up committing suicide. Well, the man that purchased his farm, one day he led his camel to drink. And this took place in what used to be Persia. We're talking about like 15th century. It used to be Persia. It's now actually part of India. He led his camel to the garden to drink, and the story goes that as the camel put his nose in that brook to drink, the man saw a little flash of light in the sand at the bottom of that stream. And he pulled out a stone that reflected all hues of the rainbow. The man discovered the diamond mine of Golconda, which is one of the most valuable diamond mines of all time. That's where some of the crown jewels of England and Russia came from, was that mine. And had Ali remained at home in his own garden, instead of dying in a strange land, he also would have had acres of diamonds. Get the point? Sometimes our acres of diamonds, it's not out there. It's right here. Sitting beside you. What God has blessed you with. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Where you live, what God has called you to, physically, the challenges that each one of us face, the Lord has blessings for us with a lot that He's given to each one of us in life. So may we, as we go out and face our week this week, let's remember contentment. We can have all the other theological doctrines down, but I'll tell you, this one will affect your life. Lord, help me to accept and be at rest and be content. Amen.